Straight down the middle.
This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at ML on WLXG. Ask questions or comments on what you'd like Matthew to talk about on the show. Today's show is sponsored by French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Play Golf Lexington, and by Edwin Watts Golf. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
I can't wait for this day to be over. Let me rephrase that. I don't like to wish time away, but tomorrow morning when we wake up, it's going to be Open Championship week, so I'm excited. I'll play a little golf today in preparation for my appearance. Oh, you didn't know? I'm going to fly over to Royal Birkdale and play in the Open. Talk about a dream world. Welcome in, everybody. It's Backspin Golf right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. And if you've been listening, how about Frankie Lyons and John Gaver? Riders Up is just fantastic. And after Backspin, the Dan and Mary Jo Show. What a Sunday morning lineup. It's awesome. I'll be going out, joining our buddies out at Kearney Hill later today. But first, we got an hour of really good golf stuff going on. Perry French, of course, will join me. My buddy Frank Bassett from Golf Talk America on PGAtour.com and Sirius XM Radio will join me. And then our pal Matt Saturnus from Chicago with Plugged In Golf. And we always talk to him about reviews and new products and different things on the market. So we'll see what he has going on. As I said, starting tomorrow, it's the Open Championship will be played at Royal Birkdale. And I have played at Royal Birkdale, as I've spoken about on Matthew and Mikey, and I might have even mentioned it with Perry on the show. But really quickly, I think this is, it's such a, to me, it's a great story, and I think you'll like it. I was invited to play 30 years ago, it just hit me. I was invited to play, I was just a young lad, in a charity golf tournament in England. And when we got there, we got very friendly with the guy that owned the golf club we were playing on. And he casually came up to us the day, the last day of this tournament, and said to the 12 Americans who were there, "Would you be able to stay an extra day? I'd like to take you to Royal Birkdale." So we all said, yeah, we would. We could stay. And we got in this guy's jet helicopter, and he flew us to Royal Birkdale. I talk about this, Sean, and it's like I can't even believe that this was my life, really. And why isn't my life like this now? Anyway, we landed in a field near the first tee, and we had a mini Ryder Cup event with the 12 English celebrities that joined us. And it was one of the greatest days of my life, not of my golfing life, just of my life. Because to be at that venue where you know they had played Open Championships before and were going to again, just to be on that golf course. It's the same kind of thing if you're lucky enough to play Pinehurst or Pebble or, you know, Golf Course, Oakmont, any course like that, Baltusrol. Any of those courses, it's the same kind of feeling you get because of the history. And I'll tell you, standing on that first tee at Royal Birkdale getting ready to hit a shot, I was as nervous as I can ever remember being. Just the guys that were there with us and being on that golf course, I had a wonderful caddy. I wish I could remember his name, an older guy to me at the time. Now I'm the older guy. We got to the 18th green. I hit the ball in a trap in the right front of the green, and the pin was all the way back left, and I probably had a 20-yard shot to the pin. And I was not a very good bunker player then. I'm not really that good now, but I was really bad then. And as I got in the bunker, my caddy gave me a little tip, and somehow I swung, and the ball came out perfectly high, landed in the middle of the green, rolled up to the cup, and stopped on the lip of the cup. to this day, it's the best sand shot. I've holed out a couple times, but other than that, it's the best shot I ever hit out of the bunker. And the caddy turned to me and said, every time they play the Open, you will watch pros hit from this bunker and they won't be able to hit as good a shot as you just hit. And it's true. I've watched the Open Championship from Birkdale. I'll do it again this week. And that's the feeling I'll have. What an awesome memory. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us here on Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1390.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play golf, Lexington.
Perry French. Last week, very serious, no singing. Yeah. I'm done with that.
Yeah.
I have a reboot going on.
I like it.
Yeah. Perry French. That's the way people that listen to Backspin are used to starting their Sunday mornings with us.
The little soft
just
intro.
Just a little, you know.
What do you think's going on with the game of golf with equipment these days? What do you see out there?
This is a interesting question and one with many different directions we could go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What do I think is going on? I don't know. I see guys hitting 7 irons 220 yards.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I see. Now, I don't see it like leaving my 7 iron. I don't see that.
That's a good point.
But here's an interesting thing. So you sit home on a Saturday or Sunday, and you're watching golf. And the commercials are going. And 80% of it is either about clubs or the golf ball.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they all claim to do all this stuff. This is the best driver. This is, you can only order this over here, but it uses a combination of titanium and marshmallow insert. And I mean, all these different things.
Sure.
And you just sit there and you go, what? What about my clubs that are in the garage? What? I can't play because I don't have this stuff.
Right.
That's what I think about equipment.
Well, and I think you are like millions of other golfers who wonder as they have played some golf and hopefully people have played a number of rounds of golf this season as we're into the summertime and they're getting out and playing more. They're finding there's parts of their equipment that aren't quite measuring up to what their expectations are.
Correct.
We talked about expectations last week and how you expect the ball to fly, but by the same token, why would you switch drivers and switch putters and switch wedges to create more performance for yourself and switch golf balls? These are all options that are very real. We start with the top of the pyramid with the best players in the game, and that's where you hear Rory signing a big new deal with TaylorMade and claiming it's the best golf he's ever played.
Right.
Oh, really? Okay, well,
I don't know. You won four majors using a different ball.
5, 6 years ago, 10 years ago, when you signed the big deal with Nike, that was the best stuff you ever played. So I think part of it is just what it is. It's a reboot to your mental approach to what you've got in your hands. The shiny and new can be very good. It doesn't necessarily have to be more better than what you actually have, but it takes on a different psyche with you as the golfer.
Right. It's just
so
different.
There's lots of choices out there, and yes, there can be significant differences for players when we change from graphite or from steel to graphite for certain players. Change the weight. Change the flex. Those are things that can have a tangible result in the sense that it creates a different feel for you. You mentioned your 50-degree wedge and how much you loved it, and it's a different club for you. You hadn't used that before, but when you immediately hit it, you go, something that transmitted to your sense of golf, and that was feel good, the way it looks. Those are things that we are, as humans, fond of trying to do and put into our emotional game. It's just like the baseball player who molds his glove a certain way. The batter who has a certain batting glove, way it fits and that. Every player, all athletes in that aspect, and golfers are athletes, and we are athletes when we play golf.
Yes, we are.
We have to find things that get us motivated and instill confidence. So buying equipment is just that. It's buying confidence. And so when you see and hear the claim, Dustin Johnson's using the number one driver on the PGA Tour as the top, okay, I've got to go try that. And you should, if that's what your interest is.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
But it's not necessarily perform like it.
It's for you. Dustin Johnson. Unless I can buy that driver, and as soon as you take it back, your swing is Dustin Johnson's.
This there within lies the rub.
Thank you, Shakespeare. I mean, seriously,
you can.
This is the best. I've never putted better. Says Jordan Spieth.
Yes.
Well, you're the best putter in the world, okay?
Right.
Am I going to do that?
I've noticed that Jordan Spieth did try to change equipment with his putter, speaking of that, and he went back to old reliable.
He changed his putter.
So there within lies the other rub, is that what you know and what you can expect, there really isn't much difference from a seven-year-old putter than a current putter today.
Right.
Visually, putters, we have players on tour changing putters every week, every round, to change their mindset and their confidence.
Right.
And it's I'll say it's a bit of trickery, human trickery. They're trying to fake themselves out, but that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to instill confidence,
yes.
Trying to buy confidence. They always say trying to buy a game.
Right.
You're not trying to buy a game, you're trying to buy confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And at that level, down to your level and my level, is just finding something that when you hit it solid and it gives you that good warm and fuzzy feeling, you go, man, I always ask people, what's your favorite club in your bag? Matthew, what's your favorite club in your bag?
My 3 hybrid.
So there it is. When you pull that 3 hybrid out of the bag, you know it's the right shot because of the yardage it is,
mm-hmm.
the trajectory you need, all those things have been
and
factored
I
in.
I know that almost every time I'm going to hit the ball solidly.
And so to me, that's where players need to start with what kind of clubs they play. The 3 hybrid is probably graphite shafted. It's probably,
yes.
You know, it's got a lot more face area than a okay, so you can mm-hmm. you can buy new clubs with some hybrid technology in the iron, so you're
right.
Not so those are things that you should look at. What if I said you get to play golf today with every shot's going to be hit with your 3 hybrid except for chipping and putting,
right?
And maybe you even chip with a 3 hybrid, chip and run.
Yeah,
you might have a pretty good day on the golf course.
We
talk about changing up your MO. Try to play a couple holes. Hit
I was
tee
just
going to
say,
hybrids.
I might do that the
maybe
next
don't
time
play
I play.
The men's tees. Just go to the forward tees and hit. Mm-hmm. Just play. So you're hitting good shots and you're seeing that what goes on and maybe instills confidence. Players, when they buy equipment, people buy equipment. They should buy based on what their favorite club is, and that's how it performs. And that's that way you can build your set off of that. If your favorite putt. Favorite club's the putter, that's good. Now you can't build a set off of that,
right.
You gotta find, because I'm talking about shaft flex, shaft weight, those
right.
are things that kind of come together. And people I know, because it's an investment in a lot of sorts, it's a pretty good one when you get into a full set of clubs, they are replacing parts of it. One time it's a driver.
Right.
That's a wedge or two.
Yeah.
Then it's a set of irons, and that's the big purchase, you know. And you very rarely get the whole enchilada at one time. Maybe it's just changing the golf ball. Those are things that change the mindset, and I think it's good.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps you fresh, and that's why I'm in the business I'm in, selling equipment, trying to help people find some confidence and find the game that gives them more enjoyment. I think players need to take the secondary step of it and take and say, okay, here's what I do well. I'm going to build off of that and try to buy equipment that fits what I do well. And
right.
it might be not trying to hit every club in your bag. I think there is a bit of a misstep for people, certainly at the novice level, you know, a mixed set, right? It's only 2 or 3 clubs. It's a 7-iron and a 9-iron and a
mm-hmm.
wedge and a hybrid.
Right.
That's really all the clubs they need.
Yeah.
To start golf.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of us need that as we play golf and aren't doing well. We should have a few less clubs and try to play golf that way.
You know, it's funny because I've thought about this the last couple times I play. I have clubs in my bag that I go through a whole round and don't hit.
Don't even come
in
out of the
18 holes, and there are probably 2 or 3 clubs like that.
Right. Right.
And when you stop to think about it, it's interesting. I hit my 3-wood really well, the Strix on 3-wood and the hybrid that I have. I might, next time I play, I might not take my driver out.
Again, that's a good way to try to reset your game and evaluate what's going on. And like I say, hit some different clubs. You typically play the same courses a lot, right?
Yeah.
We play the same tees.
Yes,
so
I do.
Aside from a missed shot, you have a lot of the same shots
mm-hmm.
again and again. And that's okay. But I know when I was running some clubs, we would change the tees up and say, okay, tonight's men's night, but we're going to play the white tees on the first tee and the
right.
blue tees on the second tee and the red tees on the third tee. What? Yeah, because it's going to give you a different perspective. It's the same golf course.
Right.
But it's a totally different perspective.
You're hitting shots from different places.
Yeah, all of a sudden now if you hit a driver off the short tee, it's going to come into play where the water is. Right. Where before, it's never come into play. So now you can't drive her. You have to hit three-wood or hybrid. And just give yourself a mind re-stimulation.
A mind makeover.
Mind makeover. It's very good. I like it. And that's where players, when we play, though, we do get into those ruts. We play very automatic golf. You almost know what to hit. You're reaching for the driver before you ever get to the tee. I think that's part of a challenge. And equipment plays a big part of that. Finding your favorite clubs, finding a club that you purchase. I know a lot of times a guy will get a new driver and he'll hit one, and the guy's going, wow, we haven't driven the ball that good all year. Well, I got me a new driver.
Right.
Well, that's part of the confidence, also part of the technology and getting fit and helping improve what he or she had before. That's a good thing. And then he gives it to you and says, give it a swing. Or you go, can I try it? And no luck. You know, it doesn't work. Or it does. And it doesn't take 50 swings to figure it out.
No.
That's the thing I tell people. It's not going to, there's no mystery in trying to find the right club. If you can't get it in three or four swings, if it's not permeating that feel for you, reach in the demo bag and grab another one. Because it's just not going to work.
Right.
You know?
Everybody has different likes and dislikes with equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I will just say Srixon is fantastic. There are no better wedges than Cleveland wedges. Mm-hmm. Those happen to be the two brands that
and I appreciate the plug.
Yeah. And there's nobody better than you.
You're too funny.
I'm not saying in what.
Yeah.
But.
Well, it's a lot of fun to get together and talk golf. We always get some neat stuff going on, and equipment is part of it's a big part of the game. We always we talk to, when we're playing, we're talking about equipment. We see the guys on tour and the gals playing. Go, what? Would it work for me? You know, and I think in the business that I'm in, selling equipment and competing against other companies, it's a pretty fun challenge to see when we work with people and they go, "Wow, that's really good." You know, and it gives that person that. That sparkle that they haven't had maybe in that particular club, and they go, I need to get that. And that's what it's all about. And that's having fun and giving people a reason to get out and hit more
and
golf
play golf. And
play golf, America.
Lexington, says our Lexington Parks and Rec guys. All right.
Good stuff.
I'll talk.
British Open next week.
I'll talk.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com.
Well, with great trepidation, I'm very excited to talk to our next guest, who joins us from time to time, one of my favorite people, Mr. Frank Bassett from Golf Talk America, who has been up in French Lick and is still there. For the last, I don't know, week, because of all the stuff going on up there. I say trepidation because he's kind of a loose cannon. You never know what he's going to say. Hi, Frank.
Good morning. How are you? Listen, can you hear the banjo music in the background coming from the woods here in Indiana? It's nerve-wracking.
Tell him to turn that banjo music off, will you?
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. It's great to talk to you. I'm just going to say this, too, before we get into what's been going on up at French Lick. Peeps listening, if you have not checked out Golf Talk America, you're insane. I looked again this morning. Usually I just follow you guys along on Twitter. But I went back to the website this morning, golftalkamerica.com. And this website is, I'm not just blowing smoke here. It's one of the best websites that I've ever seen. And
well,
you didn't do it. Whoever is doing it has to be commended.
Correct.
Yeah, no, I knew that. Has to be commended because Golf Talk America, it's the Golf Talk America network, the fusion of golf music, sports, and entertainment. But it's all about golf and music, sports, entertainment, how it pertains to all those celebrities that play golf. That love the game. The whole thing is fantastic. And all the way down the homepage, I'm just looking here. It's just great. So if you're listening and you haven't checked it out, check it out. All right, now, you have been up at French Lick, and for 6 days, it's been unbelievable up there. We had Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Donald Ross course, the 100th anniversary, the Symetra Tour was there. And then
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we had the very first senior LPGA championship at the Pete Dye course. And you've been there the whole time covering it and doing Lord knows what else.
Well, yeah. It's been a long 6-7 day run of just up every morning early, out to the courses, interviewing, doing Golf Talk America show on PGAtour.com.
Mm-hmm.
And just hanging out with all of our friends as well. You know, we missed you. You should have been here with us. But it's been great.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the Symetra Tour,
yeah,
for your listeners, our listeners, whomever, if you want to play good golf, emulate those swings. Emulate how smooth and rhythmic, and it's like a metronome.
Yeah.
Practice with a metronome, and you'll swing like those gals and keep it in play. They're incredible. Those young girls are good.
You know, all of us have had discussions at some point about golf, and I always have felt that, even watching not only the Symetra Tour, the LPGA Tour.
Sure.
You watch that tour every week and see, because we all try to kill the ball. We all try to do all this stuff that sometimes we see on the PGA Tour. If you watch the women play, it's much more about control and tempo and all of that, and I've never seen a Symetra Tour event, and I was going to try to get up there, and it didn't work out because of the Symetra Tour and then the senior LPGA, and I had to do some stuff here over the weekend, but I really wanted to see the Symetra Tour play.
Oh, they're incredible. You know, you mentioned the senior PGA. Of course, this was the inaugural senior LPGA.
Right.
Championship, which mm-hmm. is a major. It counts as a major, the first senior women's major.
Yep.
And it was incredible. But it reminds me, I recall something that you did, a couple of years ago for the senior PGA Championship that was held at French Lick on the Pete Dye course.
Yep.
And you hosted Golf Talk America that day and interviewed Lauren Thompson from the Golf Channel.
I remember it well.
Good.
I remember it well.
Good. and then you interviewed Colin Montgomery.
Yep.
And wow, what fun! You got to come back on our show
anytime. You know that anytime, because you guys, when you have guests on your show, you give all your guests a Rolex. It's awesome. It's
we've gone to tag now.
You know, okay, tag's all right. Tag wouldn't be bad. When you're speaking about that, I had such a great time that weekend. Meeting Colin Montgomery I had not been a fan of his before that, and after that day, I'm a huge fan of his. And Lauren, who, as the people that watch the Golf Channel know, did she give birth yet?
Yes. She's had a child. I don't know if she's with child again or not. I have to tell you, I haven't been watching the Golf Channel.
Oh, no, she was about to. She was about to give birth, like, last week. I mean, she's huge.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
I want to say she was going to have twins. That may be incorrect, but she was the greatest. All the people from Golf Channel were great. And I'll tell you, being able to watch this tournament Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the senior LPGA from the Pete Dye course on Golf Channel was spectacular. That golf course, I mean, we've been lucky enough to be there. And if you've never been there, just watching on TV and seeing that golf course was incredible.
It is a spectacular place. And on television, it really was showing well. And, you know, they brought in basically the A-team, as far as I'm concerned, to host the broadcast with Judy Rankin sitting there, who's probably one of the most knowledgeable people about golf.
Judy Rankin is my favorite in the booth of any golf show.
Yeah, she was great. And our friend Chris Cheddar on the LPGA, senior LPGA tour,
yeah.
She had a hole-in-one.
I know.
On 16. I mean, how did that happen?
Yeah, well, the funny part was I saw, I think it was Brendan, our pal, I'll use that term loosely, Sweeney, interviewing her after the round, and she talked about her hole-in-one, and it was hysterical listening to her. You know, that golf course, when you miss a green, it could take you 5 strokes to get back up onto the green. The drop-offs are so dramatic. And she was talking about that, and it was very funny to watch.
Yeah, I will tell you that, and you and I have played that course enough to know that when you go to the practice range, mm-hmm. get an extra bucket and put it in your cart. because you can lose some golf balls if you get a little crazy out there.
Yeah, and after a while, you know, after you've played like the front nine, if that stuff starts happening on the back, you just go, I'm not going down there. I'll just give me a double and move. Well,
exactly.
It's one of the most spectacular golf courses you can ever play. And French Lick and Brendan and Dave Harner and all the guys up there have been, you know, a partner of ours on this show for ever since we started. And now, talk to me a little bit about where you go from here. Because you get to take a few days off? Probably not.
No, I am. I'm not going to go to Silva for the John Deere.
Yeah.
I'm not going to the Open. We have someone that's covering it for us. Bob Bupka, who's a contributor to Golf Talk America, will be reporting live from the Open Championship.
Oh, great.
But I'm going to run down to the Barbasol. Tom Murray, who's a good friend of our show, is the CEO of Barbasol. And it's in Opa-locka, Alabama, outside of Birmingham. So pray for Frank to make it back home safe.
I will.
From Indiana to Alabama.
Oh, boy.
I just don't know.
Nashville is going to seem like Paris, France, when you compare to these places when you get back.
Let me tell you, Matthew, you need to come to Nashville only because it's just gone bat poop crazy. I'm cleaning that up.
Thank you.
In the words of the great Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
It's nuts. I mean, the whole city has just exploded.
A lot of us got to see it during the hockey playoffs, which is fantastic. I mean, and those of us that have, I mean, you live there, but I've certainly been there enough times to know how great it is, and it's even getting better. By the way, that Barbasol tournament you're talking about?
Yes.
Do you know where that will be held next year?
I do. It's going to be held very close to you.
Yeah.
Outside of Louisville.
Outside of Louisville.
Lexington. Excuse me.
In Lexington. That is correct. At Keene Trace, right, Sean?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Which is one of the two golf courses that make up Keene Run. It's just a great golf course. And I can't wait. We're going to have an actual event here in Lexington. I wonder where I'll be for those 4 days.
Probably hosting your show and co-hosting Golf Talk America.
Both of those. Done deal. Okay, done deal.
Let's make that happen.
God willing, a year from now. Because Lord knows what could happen in a year.
The last time I played golf in Lexington, Kentucky, it was in a tournament that you're very familiar with. I was invited up by Lexmark, and it was the Children's Charity Classic, which is a great event.
We just had the 37th one.
Oh, wow. Unbelievable.
Yep.
I don't know what I did bad, but I've never been invited back.
Well, I've asked to have you brought in here, and they won't do it. So you must have just. And I'll tell you, we figured out, I think it was my 32nd one here.
Wow.
And I've been involved in some hijinks over the years here, so you must have really done something bad for them.
I bought a new putter on the turn. I was putting so bad that day. I went into the pro shop and bought a new putter. I'd had it. And I was playing with Coach Hugh Durham as my playing partner.
Who is still, you know what? Still back this year at the tournament. He is just an incredible guy.
Oh, what a great guy.
Yep.
What a great guy.
Yep, that's funny. I'll work on getting you back here next year.
I'd love to come play in that again. That's a great charity, and it's for an unbelievably important cause.
Yes, it is. All right, well, when are you leaving? Are you leaving today?
Yes, I'm heading back to Nashville today.
Okay.
And try to get a little rest and maybe wash my clothes and reload and get ready to travel.
All right. I'm going to be checking in with you because, you know, I worry about you. So,
as you should.
All right. Thanks
in the will. I'm willing all of my debt to you when I die.
Awesome. Wait a minute. It's great to talk to you as always. Anytime you need me, just text me. I'll be there, like the Jackson 5 said, and have safe travels.
Great. Best to you and your family. Thanks so much.
Thanks, man. See ya.
See ya.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com.
I always love having Matt Saturnus join us on Backspin Golf. He's the head honcho of Plugged In Golf. And you can follow them on Twitter at, hold on now, hold on. I think it's at Plugged In Golf. Is that right,
that
Matt?
Is correct.
Yeah, okay, good. My computer just froze in front of me here. How you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Looking forward to playing some golf a little bit later. That's
what we're all hoping to do.
You're in Chicago. What's it? How's it been? How's the summer been there? Has it been hot, brutal, or okay?
No, it's been beautiful. I don't think we've cracked 90 or barely even 85 much. I mean, it's been 70-odd degrees and haven't had a lot of rain. It's been great.
Perfect. Perfect golf weather. Perfect.
Absolutely.
All right. Your site and the work that you do is as good as anything I've found on the internet. And I'm not just saying that because you're a friend of mine. Your reviews about everything, you know, equipment, instruction, all kinds of great stuff. And you can go to pluggedingolf.com if you're on a computer and look at it that way. I want to talk to you about a couple of the things that you've been talking about. First of all, we all know how great it is and imperative it is, really, that if you want to play your best golf, you need to get fitted for your clubs. But you did some research and talk to us about some of the data that you found about when you get your clubs actually fit to fit your swing.
Yeah, so one of the things we constantly preach is getting fit, and we felt like it was time to, you know, just a different way to put some numbers to it. We're always trying to put some numbers to it so people understand exactly what kind of gains they can see. So we worked with Club Champion, who's one of the top club fitters in the country. They've got locations all over the country. And I just said, pull out randomly 25 fittings that you've done. So I got the full data, unedited data from 25 just regular golfers who went into Club Champion and hit their driver on TrackMan and then got fit for something. And so I wanted to look at three different things. The first thing I wanted to look at was how much distance is the average guy leaving on the table? Because we've all been playing with somebody, you know, just a random guy you get paired up with.
Right.
And they hit either low worm burners or they hit that ball that just climbs and balloons up into the sky and then plugs. And we know those are not optimal ways to hit your driver, right? You want to hit a long, high, flat ball.
Right.
So I was just kind of, I wanted to know how much distance is the average guy leaving on the table. It's real easy to figure out your optimal distance. Your optimal carry anyway is your club speed times 2.5. And that will get you your yardage that you could be hitting your drive.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
So we looked at that and we found the average guy, when they walked in off the street and hit their driver, they were leaving an average of 34 yards on the table.
What?
The
what?
Yeah. Yeah. We had two guys. This blew my mind. I was expecting to see a big number, but not like this. Two guys were leaving over 70 yards on the table.
Just by having clubs that were wrong for their swing.
Yep. So these guys could have been driving, let's say they swung at 100 miles an hour. They could have been carrying the ball 250 yards. They were carrying their drive 180.
Holy cow.
That's, you talk about a game changer.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's insane.
So wait, hold on. But let me stop you for a second. So
yeah.
Because this to a lot of people like me, as we get older, and I'm one of the older guys now, you start to lose distance and all kinds. And sometimes I hit what I think is a great drive and I get out there and I really haven't hit it that far. So what the equation is, if your club speed is 85 miles an hour, so that's 2.5 times. 2 times would be 170. So you should carry it 205 yards with an 85 mile an hour club head speed. Is that right?
212.
212.
Yeah, optimal would be carrying it 212.
Okay. All right. Because that's important. A lot of guys always think, oh, I should be hitting it 250. Well, not if you're swinging at 60 miles an hour. You shouldn't.
Right.
Okay. Absolutely.
So it's now we're trying to get the loft and the lie and the shaft and everything fit for you so you can hit it as far as you can.
Absolutely. And so the part of that is just knowing what your club head speed is. You know, get on a launch monitor.
Right.
There are launch monitors everywhere these days.
Yeah.
Pop on and get your club head speed figured out, and then you're going to figure out. You know, either you should be hitting it farther, or maybe you're one of the few people who hits it about as far as you should.
Mm.
But of the 25 people we looked at, 23 of them were leaving over 10 yards on the table. So virtually everybody was short of optimal. So then we looked at what happened after they got fit. 100% of golfers gained distance after fitting. The average gain was 16 yards. So
again, this is unbelievable.
16 yards shorter than you could be. You keep playing off the rack, but if you want to get that distance boost, club fitting, you can buy distance. It is very easy. Just go see a good club fitter.
And we have some really good ones around here. The guys at Edwin Watts, who are a partner of ours, are terrific, which is where I go when I want to check stuff with the TrackMan. I mean, I love getting in that thing and wailing away. One of the good things is you're not keeping score, you're not outside, and so you can say, what if I really – and every once in a while you get lucky and hit one, and you can actually see how far you could hit it if you could do that.
it's a great chance to learn about your swing and learn about what you're capable of and see where the weaknesses are. Absolutely, it's a great thing to do.
Okay, another thing that I see here, and by the way, I just have to comment, on your Twitter account, at Plugged In Golf, you have Genteel Apparel has fresh colors, Genteal. Nice. Well played.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you. there's a thing here that you're talking about, and I've seen, I think if we watch golf like we all do, we've seen the commercials for these Golf Pride grips that are called Align, A-L-I-G-N, Align. Talk to us a little bit about that. Do these things seem to you like they really help?
Yeah, I think it definitely can. You know, one of the most impactful things as far as accuracy and consistency is how you place your hands on the grip.
Mm-hmm.
And what this grip essentially does is it puts a very big, thick rib, a little bump at the bottom of the grip, and they even make it red. They add that stripe there, and like I said, it's a little bigger. It's got a little texture to it.
Yep.
And assuming, you know, all the grips are installed well and professionally, that grip, that bump is going to be in the same spot on the bottom of all your clubs, and it gives you a little extra check as far as putting your hands on the club the same way every single time. And I think that absolutely can be a help for people as far as getting more consistent results.
Yeah, it seems like it. That's just an interesting thing to me. There's so many great things on your website, reviews, and you're so helpful to golfers. Before I let you go, let's just talk for a second about what's going on in the golf world. We got the Open Championship coming up. Next weekend is the Open Championship. Are you as excited about this as I am? Will you get up at 5 in the morning or whatever time it's going to be on to watch it?
Yeah. I'll definitely be up and watching that. You know, it's fun to see something so different than what we get here for our PGA Tour week in, week out. They get a totally different test over there.
And I've already been doing it. We had the Irish Open, and now the Scottish Open ends this weekend, and then we got the Open Championship, and I love, this is my favorite, I'm sorry, it's not the U.S. Open or the Masters or the PGA. The Open Championship is my favorite golf tournament of the year, and has always been.
Yeah. Have you been over there to play much golf?
I have. I've never played, actually, the great thing about this is I have played at Royal Birkdale.
Oh, that's great.
And so, as I mentioned on the show earlier, the caddy there that I had when I played, I made a great shot on 18 out of a bunker, and he said to me, when you watch the Open Championship from now on at Birkdale, there will be pros that don't hit a shot as good as you just hit. And it's true. It's true. That's I played great. There a long time ago, but every time they've played at Birkdale, I've sat, no, that's not so good. I did better than that. Of course, it was at the end of a round of, 120 or something that I shot over there. But
you just leave that part out.
Yeah, no. Who cares? I mean, it was all about that one shot to me. You're the best, Matt. Thanks so much for joining us. And I'll talk to you again real soon, and we'll get some more updates on stuff going on in the world of golf.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Thanks, man. Well, that'll do it. As I always say, that'll do it for another episode of Backspin Golf. Thanks to Matt Saturnus. He's been a friend of mine for a long time. He's a wonderful guy, and his reviews are fantastic of everything about equipment, clothing, golf courses, instruction. He has some great things about instruction. It's pluggedingolf.com or at pluggedingolf. And I always love having him on the show. Thanks to my guy, Frank Bassett, who's out of his mind, who's the main guy at Golf Talk America. You can catch it on PGAtour.com, podcasts, live stuff. It's all about golf and entertainment and sports and music and how all those things pertain to golf, how big stars play, why they love the game. There are great podcasts up on Golf Talk America, and I thank him. Of course, Perry French. What would I do without Perry French? And what would I do without Sean? Oh, boy. Yeah, I know. Well, probably nobody'd be listening to this right now. I hope you have a great Sunday. As soon as the Scottish Open is over today, later today, it's Open Championship Week. Follow me on Twitter, at ML on WLXG, because I will be posting pictures. This is my favorite week of the golf year. I love all the other stuff, but this is my favorite championship. Thanks to Edwin Watts Golf, of course, French Lick Resort, and Lexington Parks and Rec. Kearney Hill, here I come. And I'll see you all next week right here on Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.